Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots, heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. This is the Scuttlebutt Network where we proudly play the national anthem at the beginning of every show, unlike the Dallas Mavericks, who had said they weren't going to play the national anthem at any of their home games. Apparently, until Mark Cuban got enough of pushback and he suddenly decided, oh, well, I guess we can find that recording and play
Wake up
it.
But, time.
Well, you know, when you're in the NBA, Tom, I'm surprised they aren't playing the Chinese national anthem.
Ain't that the damn truth? Yes.
But anyway, you're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Just figured we'd stir things up just to start out. But we're both veterans of the United States. There you go, the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our veterans today, and we've got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible, right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and we want to welcome on board our newest sponsor, Johnny's RV, the home of the Sweet Deal.
Oh, okay, I didn't know it was there were more E's deal. In that word. hey, that's you know that's one of those Tomisms. But anyway, it's great
right,
to have Johnny's on board. Oh yeah, I guess you can say that on air. But well, you did.
Well, I've been
but,
cut off
we
before.
Do want to thank. Yep. But hey, I want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN's all out giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. And you can also call in 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Cal_SBN. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. Coming up later this hour on SBN, we'll talk with Mr. Bill Atkison with the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team and their mission to respect and preserve the memories of our fallen military heroes. We'll get an update on their efforts. Also, there is a new VA secretary, although it's kind of like a lot of things that are going on in the Biden administration. It's really a throwback to what was left of the Obama administration. I guess we could start calling that the O'Biden administration.
O'Biden, if we really O'Biden wanted to get, administration.
Or the Co-Biden.
Co-Biden.
Because you got, the Kamala Harris is up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll look at the new VA secretary and some of the things that he has said are his priorities. We'll get to that later on in the show. And, of course, Tom's Tirade, it comes from the archives today. It's Wanted, Patriots Dead or Alive. It's, as I said, it is coming from the archives, actually one that was done about 6-7 years ago now. But if you just switch some of the names around, it plays out as if it were happening in today's military.
It is so real.
Yeah, you don't want to miss it. So again, you can always stay tuned for the fireworks there. And of course, you know, if you listen to the tirade and you want to call in and comment on it or the other topics, you can always do that. But first, much has been made of the rollout of the vaccine for COVID, and one of the latest attempts to get more shots in arms comes in the form of deploying military assets to assist with the vaccination. And of course, you know, they're going to have them, I think, at every Walgreens, CVS, and they're probably going to have Starbucks will probably jump on board. So you can go in and get a couple of shots of caffeine and then one in the arm.
Circle jerk, but, pack of sacks, and everywhere else.
They get well. I don't think we're gonna. I don't know of any pack of sacks. Pack of sacks. Wow, Tom.
Yeah. Pack of sacks. Yeah. Circle jerks. Whatever.
Wow. This one's gone off the rails early. But
suck up, Leroy.
There you go. Oh boy, it's always good to know that we've been on the air.
Hey, look, man. You don't go around but once. Enjoy it. Damn it.
I guess. Hey, but
we've been thrown out of better
anyway,
places.
Hey, there you go. Hey, but yeah, the government-run VA healthcare system may be highlighting some of the problems that exist. Although, you know, Tom, there's the story comes out that, and this rolls out the VA. The headline is the VA's complicated vaccine priority system causes disparities and confusion. Now you could say, okay, it's the VA. Much of what they do is complicated, but well, yeah, complicated and confusing. But you have this story, Tom. Well, then they've also rolled out a story that came out just a couple of days ago where the VA has now administered more COVID-19 vaccine shots than 42 U.S. states.
Well, damn, they did something right.
Well, and Tom, there's another step to that, and if we've got time, we can talk about it. Just the rate of infection and death in the VA system, but we can get to that later. But you know, they're throwing these two things out. Here it is. They're saying the VA has administered more vaccine shots than 42 U.S. states, but they're blaming this system now. Part of the, I don't want to say that there is necessarily a problem. I think it's simply that the VA has, that, you know, the government has mandated these different groups that are supposed to get the shots.
Right.
You know, there was 1A and then 1B and then 32C and, you know, all these different, you know, codes that they have on who is supposed to be able to get these shots and in what order. But, for the VA, apparently the VA is looking at it with the information that they have in their systems.
Right.
And they're using an algorithm. There's that big word again. And they're going through the information that's in the databases mm-hmm. to prioritize veterans. And it goes on in the story. And you have some veterans that are in a certain group. And it seems like they are ones that are complaining more. And a couple of the instances that they pull up, Tom, they are Vietnam veterans. They're older, 60s, 70s. They have underlying
children.
Health issues. Well,
children.
But, you know, Tom, the thing is, when you look at the doses that they have administered and how many that they've administered, they have... they've given doses. They've 1.26 million doses have been given out. That's a little over 300,000 veterans and employees. Now you have to think, Tom, you know, when you're not just dealing with the veterans who may fall into some of these groups, but you have a tremendous number of employees, and these are those frontline workers.
That
everybody is saying are so important.
It's equivalent to all of the nurses and all in the caregivers in the hospital. I mean, they're the same thing.
Correct. And, you know, the VA is using a software program called the COVID-19 Vaccine Outreach for Veterans. I don't know exactly if this was created just for veterans or if they're pulling something that is analyzing the groups that are more high risk in the general population. But it seems to me that what you have is you have some folks that really are just trying to complain. Some of these veterans that are really, they're just looking to, you know, to stir something up. And there are other instances in the story where they say, well, you know, I've had to go out and I've gotten it through a private care provider. Well, good for you.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
if you fit into
that.
That's
the main thing.
Well, sure. So anyway, Tom, again, it's interesting because you've got two sides of one story. It seems like the VA is doing a really, really good job when you look at the absolute numbers, but it may just because of the breadth of what they're trying to do, it's just going to take a while. And
right,
you know, folks
right.
just have to be patient, I guess.
Right.
But anyway, hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Patriots Wanted, Dead or Alive, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
They say it's wise to keep your friends close. And maybe that is what some of the nation's largest veteran service organizations have had in mind as they have gravitated ever closer to those roaming the walls of power in D.C. Of course, it might also be a simple case of flattery, getting you somewhere. As the VSOs that until late have had to actually rally the troops and work to lobby the politicians in order to advance the causes of their members. They have suddenly found themselves more firmly ensconced at the table with the Beltway power brokers and less interested in the boots on the ground. Barriers to our veterans that have been defended for decades by regulation-wielding bureaucrats seem to simply melt away under the kinder, gentle face of the Veterans Administration. Agent Orange Deadly? How could we ever have doubted you? Jumping at shadows and scared of the cat? PTSD is a 50% disability. Can't stop snoring after drowning that fifth of Jack? Have no fear. CPAP is here. While the rest of the government, including the very military in which they served, was facing draconian cuts and whining about belt tightening due to the evil one from the land of sequester, our veterans were suddenly flush with cash. Well, at least the VA was. After all, how else could they possibly give the tobacco enema treatment to our veterans while the representatives from the big VSOs were giving the kid glove treatment to the VA bureaucrats? The same folks that were receiving millions of dollars in bonuses were failing to serve basic issues such as the disability claims backlog, veterans homelessness, and the loss of a generation to the epidemic of veteran suicide. Of course, they also say that while you keep your friends close, you need to keep your enemies closer, buddy. And maybe that is what the Obama administration has been doing all along, playing our veterans like the most dexterous of puppet masters, with the leaders of the VSOs acting as a deceitful Pied Piper, driving us on to dependency at the government trough and closer to the real enemy at hand. We here on SBN have documented the VSOs' move away from working for our veterans on numerous occasions, and have raised serious questions about their abdication of responsibility to advocate for our veterans. Recent events continue to reinforce our suspicions that they might really have been something rotten in Denmark. A series of stories over the past week has revealed that while the administration has been crowing about increasing budgets for the VA and opening the floodgates to the disability claims locker, it was secretly drafting regulations by its army of brown shirts agents, and I do mean Army, at the IRS that would empower the agency to tighten the noose around the necks of every post, detachment, division, department, and book club of every veteran service organization in existence. This would ultimately give the IRS the power to suffocate the rights of veterans to join together in bonds of camaraderie and mutual support. Ironically enough, it is the American Legion, the nation's largest VSO, and until now, an ardent friend of Obama and his VA that broke the news on the heels of its national convention this week in Houston. Apparently, the IRS is targeting VSOs in much the same way that it approached Tea Party groups, and the same damn bureaucrat seems to be to blame. Lois Lerner, the Obama Mafia lieutenant, who pleaded the fifth while pronouncing her innocence and giving Congress the finger. She is to blame, said Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas. And while the IRS wanted to know what the Tea Party prayed, under these new regulations in the so-called IRS audit, manual VSOs are required to turn over your personal information to the feds or face a fine of $1,000 per day per instance. I am deeply concerned about this revelation and will insist on answers. This policy seems to be crafted with the oversight of Lois Lerner and deserves, at a minimum, a thorough look to make certain the IRS is not overstepping bounds of privacy and respect for our nation's heroes, Moran said. American Legion lawyer Philip Underdunk Jr. said the group is concerned that the manual attempts to circumvent statutes passed by Congress and approved by the president. Well, welcome to the party, guys. Obama and his czars have been doing that for about, well, and you just now decide it's time to act. I mean, come on. This is nothing more than the opening salvo by the Obama administration, the shot across the bow, to speak, by Obama and the government to put the VSOs on notice that they had better play ball and, more importantly, get their numbers to toe the party line, or they will be the next casualty in the war on patriots. The rationale of the administration is twofold. First, poll after poll show that veterans vote overwhelmingly for Republicans, even after all of the goodies from the government. By threatening the VSOs with the power of the IRS, Obama is exerting an almost mafioso type of protection plan for the VSOs at the expense of their individual members' personal data. Don't play ball, and we will crush you, which leads to the second and most sinister part of the plan, the incorporation of the VSOs into the government of their eventual demise at the hands of the same. It matters not to Obama which course is taken. They either become part of the bureaucracy, at which point the veterans lose a voice from outside of the Beltway, or the government destroys the VSOs through IRS regulation, thereby giving veterans only one avenue to turn to for help, the VA. At which point, the VA becomes just another arm of the welfare state, and our once proud veterans are relegated to the roles of government dependents. Neither route is acceptable, and we only have ourselves to blame if my forecast comes true. My advice: don't call the American Legion or the DAV or the VFW or any of the VSOs. They have nearly led you to ruin already. Or if you do, tell them that unless they reverse course, your membership card will be in the mail to them. And then do it if they don't respond. Then pick up the damn phone, call your senators and your congressmen, and let them know that you fought too hard to be labeled a threat to this country and targeted by the IRS because of your service. That the true enemy of our freedom is every unelected bureaucrat set loose by this administration to stifle our freedoms in an endless sea of red tape and unconstitutional regulation. That the same patriots that fought for this country once will do it again, if it's necessary, and that we don't need their damn permission to do so. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And of course, you know, Tom, that was, again, that tirade was from 7 or 8 years ago. Yep. And you listen to some of the things that are in there, and the fact that you had sort of this unholy alliance between the veteran service organizations and the federal government, and then the targeting of those veteran service organizations with no response from the headquarters of those organizations.
Right.
And ultimately, who was targeted? It was the veterans. The membership.
Right, the membership.
It was the veterans who were painted out. You know, they were targeted, so to speak. I don't know if you can use targeted and fight and those kind of
that's probably not PC
anymore. Oh, we're way past PC, Tom. We're on like PDQ at this point.
Bring it on.
But But, you know, I mean, that's the reality. And you can see that you stretch that out even today. And you know, I mean, we're a month into this administration, not even. And who is it they're going after? Right. Veterans and military. Right. I mean, right. We have And we had the story, which everyone covered, about the fact that the Pentagon, you know, ordered this stand down, this 60-day stand down. Ordering military leaders to spend time talking to troops in effort to weed out extremism in their ranks. And it's hard to believe, Tom. You know, one of the things that they keep coming out with is that 20% of those who have been accused of the insurrection or supposed insurrection at the Capitol were veterans. Well, that means 80% of them weren't.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, yeah. So why aren't you going out there and figuring out who the other 80% were, and maybe you go and target them?
Yeah. I mean, why you got to body slam us? We're only 20% of the problem.
Well, that's just it, Tom, that you've got to try to alienate the veterans and our military members from the regular population, and then you can go back into the military.
Right.
And go into the military with something like this stand down, mm-hmm. and, oh, wait, did you ever say you were a patriot, or did you ever say you admired the founding fathers, or did you observe the Constitution, and you believe in what it stands for?
Then you're going to get kicked out.
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to kick you out of the military.
Right, right, that's coming.
Even though every one of them swears an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Right. Yeah.
And, of course, it's the ones on Capitol Hill who won't do it. Those are the ones that need to go.
There you go. Yes.
Hey, are they knocking on the door yet, Tom?
I don't give a damn. Come on. I'm packing.
There you go. Hey, on the other side of the break, a great patriot, Mr. Bill Atticson with the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team. And I guess I'm going to have to get my blood pressure lower after Tom's tirade. Jeez.
Bring
all
it on.
More when we return to the scuttlebutt.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
The brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today. But only three win the Green Beret.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today, and we certainly want to thank some of the folks that helped make the show possible, right, Tom?
We certainly do. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and we want to welcome on board our newest sponsor, Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal.
And it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by Mr. Bill Atticson from the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team. Bill, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. And Veteran of the Year?
That was last year, Tom.
Okay.
Where you been?
Well, it's still, the new one hasn't been appointed yet, so that's you're still the man. Man, you guys are doing an unbelievable job with the recovery of that cemetery out there, and all of Fran has just done such an awesome job on locating, I guess, and identifying so many of these veterans. It's just unbelievable.
Yes, sir. We're getting after it. We scratch the ground a little bit here and there, and dig up a few bushes and cut down a few trees and find some more veterans.
There you go. Yeah. But, you know, it's an ongoing thing. It's not like you paint it and you walk off and leave it for 2 years or 3 years and come back. I mean, you go in and cut out an area and clear out an area, and in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, according to how much rain we got, you got to go back and do the same thing again.
Yes, sir. The grass and the weeds love as warm and wet weather we have down here.
Unbelievable. Yep. Sure do. But now, are you getting any help over there that you haven't been receiving, Bill?
Yeah, we're getting a little bit. We had about a month ago, Colonel Frank Barra and Joe Connick IV brought out some of the JROTC cadets from the Mobile County Public Schools. I believe there was 10 cadets from each school in the county.
Good, okay.
And they brought out a supply of weed eaters and rakes. And, of course, we had a little bit of our own equipment. And they went after it and cleared out a pretty good section of and chipping up the tree limbs that they cut down. And
awesome.
A lot of fallen trees, you know, from the storms we had. And they're dragging them out so we could get the chipper on them.
Right.
So they did a fine job out there.
You do have a chipper that you can mulch all that stuff up, so you don't have to wait for the city or county or whatever to come pick it up then.
Yes, sir. We got a little bit of money in around the end of last year and went out and bought a chipper, a 6-inch chipper.
Okay, that's neat.
We're using it.
There you go. Yep. That being said, do you get much participation from any of the local dealers?
Not really.
Really?
Now, I did call, can't remember who it was now, one of the rental companies, and, you know, asked the man to, you know, if he'd be interested in loaning us a chipper for the weekend.
Right.
He said he'd be glad to, said we didn't have any.
Uh-oh.
All the hurricanes, all, you know.
I can imagine.
Down
yeah.
People got the chippers gone
can,
with them.
I can imagine.
So
yeah.
We finally went on out and bought our own chipper. We don't have to beg them.
Well, are y'all, have you bought any equipment? I mean, like zero riders or you know, heavy lawnmowers and things, heavy weed eaters and things of that nature?
We have our own personal equipment. That chipper is the only piece of big equipment that the team has bought.
Okay, so
we have our own.
So the
individuals,
right? The individuals that are working with you and part of your team furnish their own equipment.
Yes, sir.
There. Okay. It looks like some of these people would step up and furnish you guys with some heavy duty mowers there, so you could cut some more area quicker.
Well, it's hard to operate a big mower out in there because the some of the graves are ground level, you know, the slabs on the graves, some of them are ground level, some of them stick up 4 or 5 inches.
Oh, my goodness, okay.
Some of them are not even there, and you got a big hole.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, you know, we've had a couple of guys come out with riding mowers, and a couple of them brought zero turns, but they just, you know,
won't work, huh?
Not good out there to run them.
Yeah. You'd
be knocking over headstones or
that. You'd have to control your personnel as well as the type of equipment that you had to keep from causing more damage than actually what you're trying to, to eliminate.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's an ongoing deal. It's not like you're ever going to be finished, you know, with that cemetery.
I don't picture us ever being finished with it.
It's an ongoing deal, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is there any potential future that they can maybe drive enough revenue from some source or grants or something that you would be able to establish a pot to be able to hire maybe a couple of people to do it? Well, hell, a couple of people can't even keep it up anyway, could they?
It would take more than two people. We've gotten a couple of small grants.
Yeah.
And we've gotten a tree company out of Saraland, I think it was, but they've been down a couple of times and took out a couple of problem trees.
Okay.
But we've applied for several grants, and most of them we hadn't heard from, or we asked for $50,000, and they give us $20,000. Of course, that helps.
But, oh, hell yes. Yeah.
You know, tree companies eat that up in a hurry.
In a heartbeat,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
And they're not going to, those guys with all the equipment they've got, the expenses and insurance and everything, workman's comp and what have you, they're not going to do it for nothing.
No, sir.
Yeah, what about some local Coast Guard? Haven't they worked with you some, too?
Yes, sir. The Coast Guard Chief Petty Officers Association, they've been out there, and they've taken on one section that's probably, it might be 2 acres in that one section.
Good gracious, yeah.
And, you know, they come out there with 10 or 15 people, and they go after it, and they've got it looking in you know, good shape.
Great, okay.
Well, a couple of years ago, you could stand on one side of the cemetery, and you couldn't see halfway across it.
Right.
And now you can see from one side to the other.
That's
in a
awesome.
Couple of places.
That is awesome. But you're probably, what, 50% clear, 60% clear?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And there's, when the pandemic hit, people quit coming out. The grass kept on growing.
Weeds
kept on growing.
Oh, I can understand, yeah.
So, you know, you start at this end and cut to the other end, and then you got to come back this end and start over again.
Right, yeah.
So you don't get very far at one time.
Well, it's an unbelievable job that you guys have tackled out there, and I know that you're fighting a losing battle with the fact that you're not being able to get much revenue or get to all the help that you need. But at the same time, as far as our veterans are concerned, how many veterans' graves have y'all uncovered?
Located. I think the last count was 830.
Oh my God! Unbelievable.
Now we've been documenting. We've got a couple that are our historians, and we can't find any records for this cemetery. So we're documenting. They photograph every grave in the cemetery.
Okay.
As you know, as we get them cleared out, and then they research the you know, the individuals. And we found a lot of them that with a civilian-type headstone are
right.
actually military veterans. They find that through their research.
Right.
And where we can, we'll just give the family, you know, information to get a VA headstone if they want one.
Okay.
But the that we found.
Hold on just a second. We're going to have to take a hard break here. But if you can, if you stand by, we'll bring you back on as soon as we get through with this break, and we'll have more word here from Scuttlebutt Network.
Info.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, voice of the veterans for the veterans and 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And again, we are honored to be speaking with veteran Bill Atkinson from, he wears a number of different hats. I don't know which one he's going to put on at this point, because I think he wanted to talk about some things that are coming out from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Bill, it's great to have you here with us.
Thank you, sir.
Bill, give us a little update here on Sonny Wilson.
Yes, sir. Sonny died on January the 31st.
Okay.
It's he and Johnny had been married for some over 60 years, and she died just about a year ago.
Mm-mm-mm.
So he finally went on to be with her again.
There you go.
He was a chaplain for the South Alabama Veterans Council for a number of years.
Right. Awesome prayer warrior.
He's a good man, good friend.
Purple Heart recipient too, wasn't he?
Yes, sir. He's he was 30. Forget how long, about 30 years, a little over, in the Army.
Okay.
He went up to Master Sergeant, and then he went to Warrant Officer and retired as Warrant 5.
There you go. Okay. Well, sorry to miss that guy. We've losing these guys so fast now. We've lost three of our Marines here in the last 6 months, just in our P.O. Wilson detachment, and two of our World War II veterans, and then one of our Korean veterans we just lost 2 weeks ago, so... These guys are dropping real fast, but also
they're all old.
Well, yeah, we are old. You know, what can I say? But what about the other item you had there on your newsletter?
The Blue Star Salute.
Right.
Yeah, we're planning to have the Blue Star Salute out at Battleship Armed Forces Day, May the 15th,
okay,
of 2021. We don't know how big it's going to be.
All right.
We're planning to have the thing, and some of the we've asked for support from, you know, the National Guard and some other places, and we've been turned down by some people, and other people have given us, you know, yeah, we'll be there. So.
Right, right. Okay. Now, another area that we don't want to get out of here without mentioning is the fact that you guys need some help and you need some donations over at that cemetery fund to continue to look for the rest of these veterans that you know are there. How can they get in touch with you, or phone numbers, or do you have email addresses? What's the way of getting in touch?
We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
Veteran Memorial Recovery Team at Oak Lawn Cemetery.
All right.
Anybody wants to donate, there's a QR code on that Facebook to donate to PayPal.
Right, okay.
I'll give you my phone number.
That's fine.
It's 251-649-2281.
Okay. Repeat that.
251-649-2281.
All right, Bill. Anything else we need to get out? You guys are doing an awesome job over there, and I know Fran and them are a real asset to you.
Yes, sir. They are. There's four of us that's working over there all the time. Well, on Saturday.
Right.
Mostly Saturday. But there's, you know, the four of us, we can't do a whole lot with 20 acres to cover.
That's true, yeah.
So anybody wants to help, get a pair of gloves and long pants on and come on out Saturday morning. We'll be there.
What kind of time slot are you talking about on Saturday mornings?
We generally get there and get ready to work by 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And we'll quit sometime around 12, 1.
Okay.
Depending on what we're doing and how.
Right.
Sometimes it gets away from us and we don't quit till about 2. Sometimes we don't work past 11.
There you go. Well, it's according to probably the weather and how much water, ice cold water you got.
Yes, sir. That too.
All right, Bill. Thank you, buddy, and we appreciate what you're doing. Again, we appreciate your service, and we're honored to recognize you as the Veteran of the Year for South Alabama Veterans Council here in the Mobile Gulf Coast area. God bless you, brother. You're doing an awesome job. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help.
All right, brother. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Mr. Cal, are you still there, or did you fall asleep on me?
Oh, my goodness. How can I fall asleep with all the action that's going on there?
Well, we just bounce it off the wall a little bit every now and then. We're going to have to paint this room tomorrow.
you're either going to have to paint it or pat it. I don't know which.
Well, one. I already tore it. I already tore the padding up.
Well, yeah, you know, there's so much that the South Alabama Veterans Council
it's unbelievable.
Does
it's...
in the community. And, you know, Bill is obviously a part of that and a part of this program to rejuvenate and really recover, restore
right.
that cemetery there. And, you know, the numbers that he talks about, Tom, when it comes to the number of veterans' graves that he has found are just staggering.
It is. It's like another veteran cemetery that's just being totally overlooked.
Well, it is, and the thing that I find most shocking in, you know, the story that he tells is the fact that there are no records.
Right.
You know, you would think, it's even when you look at it, and I've been doing a lot of digging into, cemeteries because of the fact that we're trying to find some of the family members of this Marine that was a Murphy graduate.
Right.
That
and we have the Rogers?
Yearbook for.
When he's Rogers?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. And, it, you know, in digging, and I can only imagine what his historians are doing because, it's in a lot of ways, it's like trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
Because, you know, you might get a little bit of a lead in one direction, and then that dries up, and the next thing you know, you're trying to go in another direction with family members, you know, kids, and you almost have to draw, you know, something up on the wall where you can try to figure out what the connections are.
To start a tree.
To all of these people. So, that's why they call it a family tree.
This Rogers Marine that you've been researching and all there, that the Mohegan that you got from Murphy back in, what was it, 50 when he graduated?
Right.
You know, and I came through there in 56, but there's pictures of probably him and his mother or his sister in there. The invitation to the graduation is all there. And, you know, to find this in a bookstore or swap shop or whatever in Gulfport, Mississippi, you would think that there's some relatives here somewhere in this Gulf Coast area that would be interested in having that particular book and those pictures all just as mementos of their ancestors.
Well, and, you know, and thus far because there are a number of us that are looking into this at this point, we've not been able to narrow it down to someone, a living relative. But looking backwards, it looks like the grandparents of this Marine were from the Van Cleve area of Mississippi.
Okay.
Which, of course, for those of us in this area, Van Cleve is always, you know, sort of way out there in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's probably the reason that book is wound up down there in Biloxi Gulfport area.
It very well may be that that's the case. But, Tom, when I start digging a little further down, a lot of, I guess they would have been maybe aunts, uncles, I don't know, all the different designations when it comes to family members.
Right.
But you still had family members coming out of this area in Gulfport, Van Cleve, Pascagoula, into the Mobile area.
Sure, yeah.
And so it may be that there are veterans, there are family members of this veteran that would have been in the Mobile area coming out of this area. So there's still some connections there. But you're probably right. You know, at some point it may have been that this book made its way back into the Gulfport area because that's where sort of the family tree originated.
Right.
To some extent. So, you know, we're not going to stop.
Well, put the information out while we're on air and we're talking about it as to what little information you have in case somebody might be listening.
Well, the veteran was James Delano Rogers. And he was a 1950 graduate of Murphy. And that's from not only the yearbook, but as you said, the graduation invitation. And we subsequently found that he is buried at the National Cemetery in on Virginia Street. So there's the connection. So if anybody has any information, please let us know. We're going to keep digging. We're not going to stop until this gets put into the right hands.
Right.
And that's what we're here for, to do the right thing for our veterans. And this is like returning a piece of that veteran back to the family.
Sure.
But happy Valentine's Day, happy Mardi Gras. Hey, remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We will catch you on the other side, folks.
Hurrah!